All right.
You're listening to Truth to You with Jono and Jason. How's that for an introduction? That's the kind That's of great day I've had today. There's some upsides to my day and there's some downsides. In fact, this is going to be a bit of an up and down program. Hello, mate.
Good evening. Let's start with an up, with a positive side of the program. And that is William's birthday.
That is. And it is William's birthday today. My son, my youngest son, now my only son. And that's why it's a hard day as well. Jonah last year passed away, my firstborn son. And, you know, William's doing his 13th birthday by himself in that sense. And, you know, the grieving process is a weird thing and you don't understand it till you don't understand it. You don't know what it's like until you go through it. And, you know, you go through all these phases and lately I've been pushing it away and trying not to think about it and trying to keep an up, optimistic, you know, you just try not to think about it. But today, you know, it really came crashing down on me. But he has had a great day. And thanks to you too, by the way, for sending him a gift. And I want to take the opportunity too to say thank you also to Dave and Patty Tyler, who also lost their son 9 days before mine. And we met in Israel last year. In Yerovot, Ross Nichols took me down into the desert of Israel and said, "Dude, just come and hang out and just relax, you know, after the tour." And William and I were there, and so were Dave and Patty. They sent a very generous donation to his towards his bar mitzvah, with what they contributed and with what you contributed, he and I went to. Into Melbourne yesterday, into the Jewish quarter of Melbourne, Melbourne being the Jewish capital of Australia, and bought a beautiful tallit for him, which will last him the rest of his life, and it's exactly what he wanted, and he was so excited, and he's such an easy kid to please. He doesn't ask for much, really, and he's just... And he's great, you know. I mean, he's awesome. And I used to have two.
What blows my mind is that he's 13 today. Mm-hmm. I met him 3 years ago. And I'm like, how could that not have been like a mature young man at that point?
Yeah.
You know, because he is so kind and polite and smart. Yeah. And he's punchy and outgoing in the right places. And he's, you know, he's reserved when he needs to be. He's a very mature young man.
And he skates.
Yeah, he skates. Anyone that skates is good in my book.
You and William have had many skater conversations, because of course you're an avid skater and you're back on the board, right?
I am on the mostly these days on the longboard because it's wintry and cold outside, and
it'll be summer again soon, and there's a brand new skate park just down the road.
There is literally. It's not even a minute's walk away from my front door.
That is so cool. They put it there just for you.
It is cool. I think they might have done.
They did. And
me and all the people who find themselves near here at 1 o'clock in the morning with nowhere to finish their whiskey.
That's it. So he's had a great day, and he got some really cool stuff, and he's been hanging out with his best friend Tyler, and you know they went to jiu-jitsu this afternoon, and now Tyler's staying the night, and they're having a great time. It's just for me and for Khani, it's a little bit. We're happy for him, but we're just really, it's at this time you really miss Jonah. But so we're recording this on William's birthday. But mind you, I'll be publishing it on your birthday. Now this is another upside. So this is why I'm so much wiser than you, is because I'm a month older, exactly one month older. I'm 1 month wiser than you are. So I was.
It's glowingly obvious to anyone that's ever listened to a story.
I know when people listen to these programs, they go, you know. Jono and Jason, good programs, but Jono really sounds 1 month wiser than Jason. That's what they think.
It's so nice for that young man to spend so much time with that old man.
So not only do we have the same initials, but we were born in the same year, and we're both born on the same day of the month. It's just that yours is a month later than mine.
Mm,
Happy birthday to you.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
And for the people that inevitably are going to say happy birthday on Facebook, I appreciate that too. I'm not really into birthdays.
We don't really have a choice.
It's true, yeah. But as soon as I was old enough to realize that your birthday cake, which was such a thing of joy, is now a fire risk, it didn't become as much fun anymore.
Yeah,
I don't want. Yeah, I can see it from space. but you know, it's like what I do like about birthdays is it gives you a chance or a reason, if you like, to reflect on what you've achieved in the last year. Mm-hmm. It just seems to be so much quicker year on year. They say, scientists, that your youth seems to be so much longer. So a year, say when you were seven, seemed to go on for like forever.
Yeah,
and they reckon that's because of experiences. So
I don't know what it is, but it's absolutely true. Time goes faster the longer you live.
Mm. So it's kind of like if you have a book. And maybe you do in a year, maybe you go on a vacation, you have a family event like a wedding, and you have three things. Maybe you redecorate or you change your job. And then say you've got like 8 or 9 pages in that year. And so the book is quite small. Mm. But when you're 10, you know, you just saw someone get punched in the face and Star Wars came out and you tried a new candy bar and you went on holiday and you had this excellent bike and that took you loads of places and you've got hundreds of pages, you know, and the book's massive. Mm. And so when you look back into that book, it seems to have got that, you know, that went on forever. But as you get older, that's what you have to create new experiences. he says, never leaving the house.
No, that's not true. You're doing a new thing. You're doing the Jewish Dublin walking tours.
Yeah, walking tours. Yeah, I'm hoping that will be. So if this is kind of, I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably notice there's a different air to this. So you know, sometimes this is what you're going to get.
Mm.
Just kind of unpeeled versions of the face that we try to put out sometimes online. Because we're real people and real life happens.
And real life does happen. And sometimes you don't realize the depth of sorrow because, you know, thank God that you've been immune from it for so long. But sometimes, you know, gravity pulls you in. And while that is happening, you have a birthday twin, and I want to mention him as we usually did, you know, this time of year, and that is of course Nigel Morel in Canada. He was a member of Chol Hesed HaTorah community. His Hebrew name is Tzvi Ben Avraham. Sadly, came to an end too early last year as well, only a number of months before we lost Jonah. And, you know, I can't even, like, I was shocked when I heard that Nigel was gone, a real supporter of Truth to You and a valued member of the Chol Hesed community, a father and husband, a fellow guitarist, you know, great guy, absolutely great guy, and shared a birthday with you, and it was devastating to hear that he had sadly passed away. Mm. And I feel that all the more now than when I first did, you know, having lost someone so very, very dear to me only months later. So with that, I just want to remember Nigel, just take the opportunity to remember Nigel and just say to the family that we feel with you and because it's difficult, you know, when you get to the anniversaries, right? So,
especially when anniversaries start creating themselves, you know, you start thinking, oh, it's been a month, it's been 2 months, it's been 6 weeks, it's been 12 days, and all those, you know, they it's not something you just sit back and then you remember.
Yeah.
I was looking his news feed on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent him a happy birthday last year, and then 2.5 months after that, he was gone. Yeah. And then there's the absence, and it's funny because I remember the first time we mentioned him on the program, and I think he said he was listening with his mum, And so, you know, you get an impression of someone through the interactions you get with them on social media, mm-hmm. And the kind of the comments and things that you share with them. You don't really get to see the real person, but you get to see the best version of that person, I think, on social media when yeah. you're friends with them. And then there's that, you know, then you get that news, and it's odd because it's not like it was ever a daily part of your life, but it was absolutely a real person in your radar. So yeah, I just want to if the family are listening, he's remembered outside of his sphere, so he had a much wider touch maybe than you might think.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, I mean, like I said at the beginning, it's going to be up and down, this program. And, you know, when we remembered your birthday, we remember his, and we always gave a shout out to Nigel. So it's fitting, I think, that we take time to remember him. And and again, valued member of Kol Hesed, father and husband. All round great guy.
While we are mentioning Kol Hesed,
yes,
I want to talk about Ken for a minute.
Yeah, let's talk about Ken for a minute. Let's bring it back up. All right, Ken, our friend in Oklahoma.
Ken is if you were to ask somebody to on paper write a description of a Jewish man, you would not get Ken.
No.
Ken is an extraordinary individual in the way he thinks, in the way he lives his life, and the way he looks. I love Ken. Ken is the person that when I'm flicking through my Instagram feed and I see, I kind of think that maybe I'm living in an alternate reality and he's living in what life should be like. Anyway, so, Ken is awesome.
Before we continue with Ken, by the way, Mishpatim, this week's Torah Pearls features Ken. You, I, and Ken. Yeah. There you go. Nice timing. Good one, Ken. But Ken's just done something recently. What has he done?
Ken has put together a siddur, which is no mean feat. And he's curated and lightly edited and changed. Because the content of traditional siddur is pulled in all the pieces of literature and what's the word I'm looking for? Liturgy. That make up a siddur. So lots of people who are listening maybe have bought a siddur. They might have got the kind of a conservative siddur or the reform siddur or an orthodox siddur, like an art scroll. All good. And as Ken says, actually, in the foreword of his new siddur, the best siddur is one that used all the time. But what he's created is a book that's easier to read in 2018. Yeah. So he's updated some of the language. He's incorporated in his opinion, the best version of much of liturgy, and brought in things from rabbis and scholars, and he's made a very usable, readable book, which you can buy. So we're not sponsored, but to be honest, I looked through it and I was so impressed and thought it was so good. We had to share it. I know there are going to be people that I just have to say that. I know there are going to be people that are siddur, you know, there's no siddur in the Tanakh and we shouldn't really use them and blah, blah, blah. But there's no, I don't know, electric drill in the Torah either. Well, no, if you want to put a shelf up, you want to use the right tool. And this, for me, is a really good tool if you want to sit down and think, or it helps you pray or understand the day or have a more kind of grateful attitude.
Let me read what he's got on the website. And I'll put a link to this to the website that's where he's selling it from, about the book Introduction. This siddur is for those who are seeking to connect with the creator of the universe in a Jewish way but are either still learning to make Hebrew the language of their heart or simply prefer to seek out Hashem in their English mother tongue. It is not meant as a replacement to traditional Hebrew prayer but instead is an accompanying resource. And as you mentioned, he says the best siddur is the one that is regularly used. And he goes on. Now, I will say it is stupidly cheap, Ken. Honestly, it should be $19.95. But Ken has listed it, a hardcover, dear people, it's hardcover for $14.41 1441 is because he's not taking anything from this. He's letting it sell for what it costs him. Honestly, it should be $5 more than that. You can get a soft cover for $4.41. You can't afford not to have one of these. It is entitled Alignment Refinements, and I'm definitely going to get myself one. And thank you very much, Ken, for doing that. Again, Ken Lane of Chohesed HaTorah Community.
And Oki Hebrew, if you want to find him online. If you type in Hebrew,
that's it. Okihebrew, you'll find him.
Yeah. He's got lovely dreads, and he's a skater and a musician. And
he's
very
a skater
colorful.
Too. He's a great bass player. And I think his Hebrew name is Yefet Ben Ezra, if I remember correctly. So thanks, Ken. Thanks for doing that. And so we thought we'd just give you a plug. And again, Chohesed HaTorah Community. Right now, what is next on? Oh, now, okay. Now, as we mentioned before, today is my son's birthday, but it's actually his Hebrew birthday on the 14th.
Ooh, Valentine's Day.
There's a whole lot of things aligning on this day. Now, you remember a couple of programs ago we were talking about the super blue blood, multicolored moon and all the things that were going on there. Well, here we have William's Hebrew birthday is on the 14th. St. Valentine's Day is on the 14th and Ash Wednesday is on the 14th. Now, I've never really understood the latter two. And I think that you probably know a little bit more about it than I do. What I know is that St. Valentine's Day is often referred to as the Feast of Valentines. Hmm. I know that Ash Wednesday is some sort of day of fasting. So I don't know if Christians are going to implode on this day. What does it mean?
Valentine's Day, God, you know, it's like Christmas. So I've had a bit of a turnaround on all these. Well, not a turnaround as much, but... there was a period of time when I was this is disgusting pagan, horrible things. And I'm gone a bit softer now, I think. I don't do them, but then I see plenty of people who are not in the least bit religious, and it's like a social holiday for them, you know. Yeah. It's actually an interesting study if you go back and have a look at Thanksgiving and the reason why that exists at all. It was more to do with an Indian festival, which happened in, well, Indian is the wrong term these days.
Native American?
Native American is better, I think. But yeah, it's more to do with Native American custom than it was in any way generic Thanksgiving. Anyway, Ash Wednesday in Ireland is particularly interesting, and I'm sure in some other Catholic countries it's the same, because you'll see people that only go to church twice a year, maybe for Easter and Christmas. They'll go on Ash Wednesday morning and they'll have a little cross put on the temple in Ash.
So I've been reading up on this. This is the first time I've ever read up on this, and it was the wiki. I'm just reading through the wiki, and it's really quite alarming. The observances. Ashes are ceremonially placed on the heads of Christians on Ash Wednesday, either by being sprinkled over their heads or, in English-speaking countries, more often by being marked on their foreheads as a visible cross. Mm. And, and it's a reminder of, apparently, Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Remember, man, that thou art dust, and to dust thou shalt return. Bit morbid, but, of course, Christianity is for the most part. In 1969, revision of the Roman Rite, an alternative formula based on Mark 1:15 was introduced and given first place. Repent and believe in the gospel. And by the way, don't forget that you're dust, and to dust you shall return. So they get ash, and they what do they mix it in? What, just a bit of water or something, and put a bit of a black cross in their forehead?
Even know if it's mixed with anything. I think it goes on kind of dry. It looks like someone has just like taken some ash from an ashtray or something and rubbed on someone's head. It's an odd thing. And I had a conversation with somebody about this the other day. What amazes me is that you might think that a religious person, after hearing or seeing this act, especially as a Catholic, because it doesn't really exist outside of the Catholic sphere, might go home and say, I wonder where ash appears in the text. Mm. So we'll have a look. Mm-hmm. And really, there's only one proper sackcloth and ashes event, which happens on a big scale, and that was the end of the Nineveh story. So I don't know why the two aren't put together more often. Huh. I don't, you know,
is that
I don't.
Right? Is that really right? Honestly, I didn't know that. So what you're saying is when Jonah went through Nineveh and said repent, hoping that they wouldn't and that God would strike them all down because he was so ticked off at being swallowed by a fish and spewed up and had to go and do this thing. But unfortunately for him, they did, and they did so by putting on sackcloth and ashes. Is that right?
Yeah. So ashes are a specific repentance tool. And actually, it's a very Jewish thing. So whenever you see someone in ashes, then that literally means they're in repentance mode, which coming from a city which worshipped a big fish and some other stuff, and weren't Jewish, weren't Hebrews, weren't one of the tribes. It's kind of interesting that they knew that that was how they should do it. He said, repent. They said, well, better get some sackcloth and ashes. But that's not read. You know, you won't find a church reading that on the Sunday before before Ash Wednesday. It's also the beginning of Lent. So that's a period of time where I think it's 40 days or something. A lot of people will take something out of their life which they want to use as kind of a penance. So they might not have candy for 40 days. They might not have drink, you know, like alcohol or something. And I know people that won't eat crisps, chips for 40 days. And I'm like, you know, I'm sure, you know, as amazing as that might make you feel, I don't think God's sitting there going, oh, look, he hasn't had a packet of Pringles for 2 weeks. It's doing really well. I'll give him some good thoughts.
The thing is, so Lent, okay, so Ash Wednesday, and again, I'm in the wiki, Ash Wednesday marks the start of a 40-day period, which is an allusion to the separation of Jesus in the desert to fast and pray. During this time, he was tempted. He was tempted by the devil.
I think I've had a personal theory that the actual Lent Genesis, the beginning of it, for you at home, that I think I just mentioned the book of Genesis. That just sounds really condescending. You better cut that out. Don't cut anything. This is what we talk like, really. It's for real. I think it might have more to do with the Exodus and the 40 years than the Jesus and the 40 days.
Oh, the Exodus. Sorry, I thought you said the Exorcist. Because when I see... When I see, you know, people putting, you know, ashes on in the shape of a cross on your forehead, the first thing that comes to my head is The Exorcist. I don't know if that actually happened in the movie, but it kind of goes along with the same sort of genre, doesn't it?
Well, you know, they do it with holy water. I mean, when you see the priest do that to a forehead at a mass, communion or a baptism or something, it's the same shape. It's just a different medium. It's water, oil or ash.
Creepy.
But I think it might have something to do, because we've got an interesting history in Ireland of oldie worldy Christianity versus the newer Roman Catholicism. So St. Patrick, the Welsh slave that became the patron saint of Ireland, he brought all kinds of stuff here. We have a Paschal bonfire that used to go up on a Friday so people would know when Passover was. Can you believe that? Before the church properly came. So I wonder sometimes whether the 40 days is actually representative of 40 years. And the reason we have a pancake day is because they're remembering unleavened bread at the beginning of that 40-day period. That's what I think might be. It doesn't make any of it okay or right. But for most people, it's just something they feel they should do rather than something that they want to do. But let's skip over to Valentine's Day quickly because I've got a much more...
Before we do, at the bottom of the wiki, it says National No Smoking Day. So in the Republic of Ireland, Ash Wednesday is a National No Smoking Day. The date was chosen because quitting smoking ties in with giving up luxury for Lent. Luxury. In the United Kingdom, No Smoking Day was held for the first time on Ash Wednesday, 1984.
Because nothing says luxury like cancer.
That's right. Well, I guess as a Jew, I better light up. I'm going to light up on Ash Wednesday.
That's right. Do not go unto the ways of the Gentiles.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to light up on Ash Wednesday.
The opposite. I mean, to be fair, now we have rules. I don't know what it's like in Australia. I know it certainly isn't that way in the States, but we have very strict smoking rules now. You can't smoke on public transport. You can't smoke in any building, pretty much, unless you own it yourself. So if we go to a pub, there's no smoking. Restaurant, no smoking. which was weird at the beginning. And as a barman for years, and it felt odd not having smoke in a pub. It took the atmosphere away. Suddenly, you can see what everything looks like.
I would love for you to be my barman, by the way. If there was a bar with you in it, I'd be there all the time.
I'd be drunk all the time. That's probably a good thing I got out when I did.
You and I both.
I was when I started being a barman. I lied about my age. I told them I was 18. And I was actually only 17. And I was skinny. I was a size nothing. I was a flake. And then Guinness and takeaway food. I'm telling you, it was the end.
I am ordering another wine as we speak. I am. I'm just letting everyone know. I just put in my order. It'll be here shortly. Okay.
So same Valentine's, same day. Everyone knows what Valentine's Day is. But what they might not know is that Valentine was an actual person. It's they can.
Oh, he was real, as opposed to what was Saint Nicholas real? I mean, I don't know, but you're saying.
See, Saint Nicholas was like a Turkish merchant kind of person, and we don't really know much about him. They think they found his bones now. Carbon dating was pretty close on what the century they think he was born in. But he made secret gifts of money to people, especially to these daughters that needed the money. They were in trouble. Valentine's Day, I think, has got a bit more of an obscure background, although still there were icons of the guy and of parts of his body, what they called the little ossuaries. And
what is,
and
in what is with it? With okay, so when I traveled to Europe and I traveled around, I did stop at various cathedrals because I'm just infatuated with the architecture. But while there, here's a piece of Saint such and such, and here's the finger of Saint such and such, and here's a toe of Saint such and such, and here's the they love body parts in these things. Christianity is such a morbid religion. So what you're telling me that there's bits and pieces of Saint? Well, wasn't he martyred? I mean, good heavens.
I believe he was. I probably couldn't have heard to read through. I think he was responsible for putting a person back together that was butchered. But I don't want to say that's
story that is, isn't true. It? Yeah, someone it was is. Butchered and he put them back together in a stroke of lightning, suddenly brought them back to life. And
but I don't want to say this absolutely true because I didn't check. But people should go and look it up. But the point is that down the road from me, there's an old monastery that still houses monks called Whitefriars, and they have a forearm in there of Valentine, allegedly, that they've had for many, many, many years. Seriously. Like centuries and centuries. And people go down there on Valentine's Day if they're married or engaged or want to get married or engaged, and they stand in front and they say a little prayer and pray to Valentine to I'm looking at a picture of it now. And they pray to Valentine that he'll keep an eye over them and make sure that their love never fades. But the whole point of the body parts, I'm trying to remember the name of the actual item. So if you have and I know people at home are screaming right now at their speakers because they know the word. And for me, it's a blank. But yeah, you'd find that churches did a lot better because they didn't run those early day churches. They didn't get money from the Vatican. They didn't get money from their bishops. They were responsible for their own income. And so they needed a way of getting people to make the pilgrimage to their town, because that would generate a lot of money. They needed somewhere to sleep, somewhere to eat, somewhere to feed their horse, somewhere to shoe their horse. And then they'd come and they'd look at this amazing thing, whether it's a heart or an eyeball or a skull.
I'm just interrupting you to let you know that my wife has come with my wine.
I'm just bringing something to Jonathan, and now I'm leaving. I'm talking to your mother.
Oh. Yes. And she's even on the phone. She's multitasking, talking to my mother. Talking to my mother on the phone. And she's brought me wine. Excuse me while I top up here. And
I'll add the sound effects.
I'll tell you what I prefer is a Merlot, a nice Merlot. And I tell you what, we are really, really, really spoiled here in Australia with really, really good wine. Not only really, really good wine, but an incredible abundance of good wine. Mm-hmm. And therefore, good wine is by no means expensive. And that's just one of the good things about living in Australia.
You get all the there's a good soil, and it has the sunshine, it has the rain at the right time, and it's nice and flat, so you don't, you know, and it's good. It's just, you know, then you've got all the deadly spiders, so swings and roundabouts.
The trade-off is we have the most deadliest spiders, the deadliest snakes, and various other insects and animals that just want to kill you. Now, you were saying...
At any minute, you could get bitten, but you're too drunk to worry about it.
Tell you what I did today. Just hold that thought for a minute, because speaking of things that want to kill, I did this to myself, actually. So, on the upside, here's an upside. We are moving house. We're currently renting in a beautiful place in Torquay on the beach, right down, you know, southeast of Australia. And we've been renting for a while, but this is the first opportunity we've had to buy. We have bought the house that we're building. It's almost finished, and we'll be moving there, in a matter of weeks. Now, I had to give notice, 28 days so that they could find a new tenant. The real estate agent wrote to me and said, oh, that's great, no worries. Look, do you mind if we show a few people through next Thursday? That's today. And they said, show someone through. I said, sure, yeah, no worries. You know, tidy the place up, all that sort of stuff. I'm not kidding. 8 families turned up. There's something like 50 people all of a sudden turned up outside my house. And I'm going, what the hell's going on? Who are all you people? And then they're all, and I'm thinking, what, did one person invite all their friends and family or what? But it just didn't occur to me that they would have everybody who was interested in the house come and look all at once. And it makes sense. Anyway, here they are. They're all, you know, scurrying through my house like a bunch of rodents. And I thought, and there's kids running around and stuff. And I thought, oh, I better go and, you know, sort out the dog, because the dog might snap at one of them or something. So I go out to the dog, and I'm calling her over, you know, into a, you know, area, you know, in the backyard where it's a bit quieter. In doing all of that, somehow I managed to stub my toe, my little toe.
Oh, man.
Oh. Now, you know when you do that on like the edge of the bed or the coffee table or the chair or whatever, at least it's like, you know, some sort of rounded wooden thing or something, a piece of furniture. I did this on the bricks on the outside of the house. I'm sure that I left a toenail out there somewhere. I haven't even looked. I hit my toe. It's exploded and blood started. All I wanted to do was lose it and just go on a rampage with all these strangers in my house, but I didn't.
That would be so good.
Oh, man.
There they go. Oh, did you see the kitchen? Oh, it's lovely, Shelley. I'll take your phone out. We'll take a picture. Okay, Shelley. You stupid fucking fella.
I'm telling you, I'm actually really proud of myself. You know, with everything that's gone on today, I'm really proud of myself that I managed to hold it together. But at that point, that millisecond, you know, where you're just like, nah, everyone is not going to live through this. It's all over. But held it together.
It is a unique area in the body, right? I can't think of anywhere else that you can cause so much pain in such a small area.
So painful. And I'm searching through my pockets going, have I got the tissues somewhere, a Kleenex, whatever? And I found one just like, you know, wrapped it around my toe as blood is like, you know, pouring out of it. And managed to eventually limp back inside while all these strangers are pouring through my stuff. And you know, found a Band-Aid and put it on, and it's held together. I don't think I've broken the bone, but I am pretty sure I lost a nail somewhere. Oh my goodness! That's what happened to me today, and I'm just venting on air. Now, you were saying
if you were there today, Jono's home, and you heard a weird squeaky noise from outside, you understand the source. So just the Valentine's thing, we have the arm down the road, and apparently the head is in Winchester in Hampshire in England, but then the head is also in Santa Maria in Rome.
Saint Valentine was a conjoined twin.
Yeah, or he was an alien, like the guy in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Ooh,
so
that's also a possibility, but I think more likely.
A conjoined twin. Yeah. Maybe that's why he had so much love to give. Oh, man. I'm going to get literally stoned by the local church when I leave. All right.
Do it on Ash Wednesday. So, get literally stoned on Ash Wednesday, and then you've got an opportunity to light up.
No, because then that you've got a little target on your head. I just, you know, why would you do that? Let's talk briefly about Mad Mike.
Mad Mike! Oh, my goodness. So last week we were talking about flat earthers. Mad Mike decided that he was going to shoot himself up into the sky, only 3,000 feet, because, you know, whatever that was going to achieve, to declare to everybody that whether the earth was flat or whether it was round, whatever, what happened?
I didn't go. I called it. I said it wouldn't happen, and it didn't happen. As the Register website reported, a huge failure. Flat Earther Rocketeer can't get it up yet again, and apparently he's something blew his ring or something, and it wouldn't work. So he said...
He's literally on the back burner.
Yeah, he's on the back burner, and... yeah, now we'll wait and see what happens. But I can tell you what's going to happen. He'll run out of money. He'll say he's going to do it. People will send money, and he won't do it.
He's spending thousands and thousands, and a whole lot of flat earthers are donating to his cause. And it occurred to me, I mean, you said why not a weather balloon or something with a GoPro? But even if you don't do that, and you said he's not going to do the 35,000 feet in an aeroplane because, you know, the windows are skewed to make it look, you know, the earth look round. But why not a helicopter? Why not just hire a helicopter where you can actually look out the door? And why not do it that way? Why?
Yeah. Or just science. Why doesn't he learn a tiny, tiny bit about science?
There's so many whys.
I know.
Anyway.
But the truth is, I think he's a relatively new convert to the whole flat earth thing, and it seemed to tie in with other issues that he was having at the time involving money. I mean, look, it says here that live footage of the launch was sold on a pay-per-view channel at $5 a pop. People paid to watch him, and then they tuned in to see him sitting in the rocket for 11 minutes. And then he said, actually, there's nothing happening today. My ring has blown, and I can't get off the ground. And that was it.
That was it. Mad Mike.
They paid their money.
Done.
Mad Mike, gotta love him.
He's a fizzer. All right, last but not least... moron of the week, moron, absolute moron. I'd love to say more with more colourful language, but I won't. This is in, I don't know, something. Televangelist says, no need for flu shot if you have Jesus. This moron of a woman, and I'm assuming this is Kenneth Copeland's wife. Is this who this is? Gloria Copeland?
I think it is. Look, he's co-founder of his mega churches.
Absolute tool. And what she's advising now you had a flu shot, didn't you?
I did, and I wondered actually whether we'd be on opposing ends of the bench on this because I'm pro flu shot. Many of my friends aren't. I think that your look at flu shots may actually just represent your view of government as a thing. I don't see him as that.
I'll tell you where I'm at. I'll say this. I don't get flu shots. And I really don't get the flu.
And then you wouldn't need to because you're in good condition. You're not in a risk group.
I'm not in a risk group. That's it. Yeah. Now you are. You are in a risk group. Yeah. And it's wise of you to get a flu shot. And like I was at the doctor the other day. I had to get, what's it called? Flexitide or whatever it is. The orange puffer. Everyone knows what the orange puffer is because William has asthma. And just had to get a new one of those. And he doesn't, you know, use it, you know, often. But, you know, when you run out, you got to get another one. Went to the doctor and he said, now, you should get a flu shot, by the way. And I'm like, I'll think about that. Okay, so do a bit of research there. But for me, personally, I never get a flu shot because I like to go the probiotics. I like to go the probiotic approach, and I have a lot of probiotics. And I like to try and keep it under control that way and keep myself safe from the flu.
Well, now, let me ask quickly, though. Aussie flu was a big thing here. I think 14 people died over the last 6 months. Was it as big a thing in the States? Because I know Spanish flu didn't start in Spain. It was just a name they gave.
I will tell you, I'm not even kidding. I've never heard of Aussie flu. I honestly, I think they just make these things up around the world. It's Aussie flu. It's Argentinian flu. It's Canadian flu. It's bloody Tasmanian flu. I don't even know. New Zealand flu. It's Polynesian flu. Whatever it is, it's something you've never heard of, and it's over there somewhere, but it's coming here. So you better get vaccinated, because we made some vaccinations. We'll make some money out of that, and that'll be good. I honestly really do believe that a little bit of that goes on. However, if you are in a risk group, it makes sense to get vaccinated. Anyway, this moron of a woman, absolute twit, says, oh, no, you don't have to get vaccinated because Jesus. And it's a distortion, of course, of Isaiah 53. You know, by his stripes you were healed, therefore you are healed. What the hell is wrong with you? Like, there are kids who believe in Jesus in the cancer ward. What the hell is wrong with you, you idiot? You see, moron, you fool.
That's a part of the bigger problem. So this, she would come from the same ilk as the people that kind of, you know, lick snakes to prove that they're being. But what happens? You've got a kid that comes up in a very traditional Christian home that is, and their parents believe as she does, and his friend, who's done everything with him his whole life, is now got leukemia and is in the hospital.
Yeah.
So his mind is going to say that, well, I must be a better person because Jesus has kept me.
Yep.
But
and I didn't have enough. He didn't have enough faith, or he's done something wrong. Something like that. And I utterly detest idiotic, foolish people that give stupid advice based on a misunderstanding of scripture that could endanger people's lives, and that lead people to believe, if they believe like she does, that when they get sick, it's their fault. This woman is an idiot. If people are in a risk group, they should get vaccinated. They should take the vaccination to reduce the risk of them getting sick and potentially leading to more dangerous symptoms.
Yeah, if you've got bad immune system, or if you're old and, you know, on the poverty line, you can't afford maybe the heating or the right foods, and you're eating, you know, you're not eating fresh veg, and you can't afford to keep your body running, the flu vaccine is absolutely the right thing to do. Yeah. And when you read what she's got, this is almost kind of hate speech.
Yeah.
You know, she's saying that my group, perfect group, you don't have to do any of this stuff because those, you know, the plebs over there that don't believe in Jesus, they're all going to get struck by this. You're going to be fine. It's shocking. It's not right.
Moron not wrapped in an idiot. So you are in a higher risk group. Having said that, I am 1 month older than you, so maybe I should have it.
Maybe you should. The thing is, right, okay, so I know in some countries, this that kind of thing, that choice actually comes down to whether you can afford it or not. But in Ireland, in the UK, it's not. I mean, if you're in a risk group, it's free. So I have diabetes, and that could be very expensive if I lived in the US, but it's not here. And it's not even that. So if I have a regular, I wake up in the morning, I realize I've got a bit of a cold, and it develops into a full-on flu or something. So I go to the doctor, and that doctor visit is going to cost me about €45. And then he or she will give me a prescription, and I'll take that to the chemist. And that might be between €6 and €25 for the medicine for a regular visit. But if you're a diabetic, that is covered by the government. So if you need blood tests, shots, medicines, all the other bits and pieces, the little monitor, the blood test monitor, the bits of paper that go in, that's all paid for. The medication for that's all paid for. And anything external to that, so the stuff I take for my other things, there's actually a system here where you pay about €135 a month. And anything up on top of that, and I take injections which cost €1,600 each, and I'm meant to have one of those a week. You know, how can you afford that? And I can afford it because the country allows you to afford it by only paying €135 a month. But in the States, that's not possible. So you're going to find people that are there that are on the poverty line, or they have to make a choice between getting their flu jab or paying the fuel bill and keeping their fire running over winter. And then you get idiots like her that come along, and suddenly that decision's a lot easier because, you know, why do I need either of them? Obviously, Jesus isn't going to let me die because I'm such a great Christian. I don't know how you can even afford to think that way.
Unbelievable. Highly irresponsible moron yep. of a woman. And just thought I'd throw that in the mix. So this hasn't been the funniest. Dear listeners, thanks for listening. It's going to be a funnier one next week. I pretty much guarantee it. We'll have a bit more fun. You're going to Cork. You're going on holidays, right?
Yeah, we're taking a weekend away. I was down there for a day a little while ago. Then I had to go down for work, and I went with her. And it was really good, and we didn't get a proper look around, so we're going to go away for the weekend, which we like to do. What I wanted to say with the guys at home, thanks for supporting both of us. I know, you were sitting there, many of you are there, you enjoy the stuff we do, and it's really amazing when you reach out and support us and do nice things for us. You were talking about Will getting gifts there, and I had a lady who's going on the on Ross's spring tour, and she contacted me during the week and asked if there's anything I wanted from Israel while she was there. And it always blows my head when someone thinks about you, you know, because you're a voice, you know, in a box on the other end of a thing, and they think that maybe I can do something nice. And so I just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone who has been so supportive to both of us over the time we've shared online, and rode the train with us over some of the more difficult bits. Very appreciative. I think we have a really amazing community and family online.
Yeah.
And I think you should be applauded, and we're both very grateful.
Indeed. All right, my friend, I think that is it for this week.
Yep.
Thank you, everyone, for listening in. As I say, it's, you know, real life is up and down, and this particular recording reflects that. But don't worry, next week's going to be a little bit more entertaining. All right. We're done. Thank you, my friend. And we will do this again next week.
Yeah, I've got a secret suspicion that there might be a few people that actually like this recording the most.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be like, yeah, I knew it wasn't worth getting up today. Thanks, you too. Yeah, I'm just going to order a massive pizza and stay in bed. You're welcome, everyone. We'll see you soon.
Bye.